Welcome to Gems of Wisdom, a soul sanctuary and community to inspire hearts, minds, and lives through art, charity, and conversations that deepen our connection. Our show features the stories of women in the arts who nurture creative and abundant living for all religions, communities, and forms of spirituality. Welcome to our show. Hi there, and welcome to the Women's Wisdom Circle. Today, our theme is Change Limiting Beliefs, and I'm your host, Teresa Marone. My co-partner here, my facilitator, is Reverend Bridget Wasek, and we want you all to know that one of the most profound limiting beliefs that many of us have is seeing is believing. When that belief is changed to believing is seeing, we empower ourselves to be in the driver's seat of our lives. Let me introduce right now and introduce to you Reverend Bridget Wasek. How are you doing today, Bridget?
Great. This is going to be a wonderful show.
It is. And changing limiting beliefs, I think, is, you know, it kind of catches you by surprise when you realize that you're kind of in that loop again.
Yeah.
Do you have any limiting beliefs that challenge you? I have a couple
I do.
I do.
They crop up every now and again, and you'll be in the middle of something and say, why am I doing it this way when it's much better to do it some other way? And it, you can trace it back to, oh, yeah, this is an old tape.
Yeah, an old familiar tape, right?
Right, yeah.
Exactly. So what do you think about, like, our power statement today? Seeing is believing, okay? If I can't see it, I can't believe it, right?
Right.
That's never really been a phrase that I have personally used, but I do know that I've kind of thought, well, you know, I do kind of believe that. And believing is seeing. Kind of, like, give me an idea how you would interpret that.
Well, I think it's changing the lens. So if you see the world through a different set of beliefs, then the world changes for you. But if you're doing the seeing as believing part, then you're seeing the world with the lenses that you inherited, the lenses that were given to you as a child or maybe a teenager, that you were perhaps at that moment too young to question. But once you let go of those lenses and a new set of lenses comes into view and you start using those, because not all of them will be wonderful, but find the ones that are useful and appropriate to you, then you believe what you see in the world because you're seeing it through a different lens. You're constructing the reality of your life and the world through a different lens.
I think that's a good way to think about it, is changing the lens as if, you know, a professional photographer will always change the lens to get a different perspective on a picture. Let's say close up or, you know, full daylight or even something with a more dramatic lighting. So, I mean, that's kind of a pretty cool analogy, isn't it, to be thinking of changing your lens as you're looking at different aspects. I do too.
The metaphor you just used of the photographer is such a strong metaphor, because when I think of photographers using lenses, I see them not only using lenses that are for distance or close-up, I see them using colored lenses and to bring out and make colors in certain scenes pop. And I think that's what happens when we change our lens, is that things that were in our view pop. We see them differently, or we see them for the first time. So I really think that changing those beliefs, changing the tapes that are in our heads, allow us to look at the same scene but have so many different things come out of that scene than we've previously noticed.
I like it. Well, before we bring our guest on today, let's talk just a little bit about our goal here with the Women's Wisdom Circle. It is a soul sanctuary that invites women to be who they are without needing to change or fix themselves or anyone else in the circle. We gather here for deep listening, creative reflection, and authentic soul sharing. We begin by exploring a wisdom quote, and then we go where the spirit leads. The circle is a place to honor our flowering alongside our brokenness, and our gathering feels new and ancient at the same time. The wisdom of the circle is the circle itself. And we'll be doing the Women's Wisdom Circle here in just a few moments. But before that, I'd like to introduce my very special guest. Brandi Duich is a leader and a pioneer in the conscious living community of Houston. She holds a master's degree in the metaphysical science from University of Metaphysical Science in Sedona, Arizona. I'm sure there's some great stories there. She uses her intuitive gifts and specialized training to help clients achieve fast and often immediate results. Brandi believes that instant change, manifestation, and all those good, great, wonderful things is possible in areas of our lives, and anyone, given the right tools, can transform their current condition or situation. So help me welcome Brandi Duich. How are you doing, Brandi?
Hi, Teresa. I'm great. How are you? Hi, Bridget. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, well, we are glad to have you. Now, your business is called Holistic Changes with Brandi, right?
Correct.
Good. So is there a website with that you'd like to share with everyone?
Sure. It's simple. It's holisticchanges.net.
Oh, good. Yes, that is simple. And so, Brandi, holisticchanges.net, very nice. You know, one of the things that really intrigued me about you when I was, getting prepared for our show is your client's biggest takeaway. What you like to say is that after working with you, your clients achieve and realize a new sense of hope and empowerment, and that you feel that many people come to you because they've been told over and over that they can't change the way things are and they have no power in the situation. And you help people understand that that's simply not true. So what do you feel is the basis of how you help people achieve this transformation?
That's a great question, Teresa. I think what's happened is we've been brought up with a lot of ideas and a lot of misinformation in our society and in our world, but even more so, it's a kind of conditioning that keeps us powerless. And there are a lot of different reasons for that. But the main reason is if we had that power, we would be extremely different kinds of people. Put it that way. We'd be very different kinds of people if we knew how powerful we really were. And I show people how powerful they are and how they're manifesting their reality based on what they've been taught and based on limiting beliefs.
I like that. So one of the things that you say that you help people with their limiting beliefs, is to really understand what a limiting belief is and why it's important to, put a name to that belief that is limiting you and holding you back. Is that part of how you change those beliefs?
Yes, absolutely. I think it does start with reframing where a limiting belief comes from. And Bridget was really on the right track when she was saying, based on, what we were conditioned as children. That's part of it. That's a big part of it. What we're starting to understand.
Hello? We're starting to understand that limiting beliefs can be the catalyst for change as well as a limiting belief, right? So, Bridget,
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. I think we might have lost Brandy.
I know, honey. I know. But she'll be back.
So, okay.
When she is.
So, yeah.
We'll talk to her.
I was really interested in what she was saying because there needs to be somebody in your life who eventually supports you and tells you it's okay to step into your power. That that you are a powerful person, and the people who want you to stick with your limiting beliefs are the people who fear your power. They fear what will happen if you become the powerful person, and they have a vested interest in holding you in to those limiting beliefs. And sometimes
Brandy,
they don't
what do you
even
think
know
about that.
That? Pardon?
No.
That's great. Yeah, you know what? Everything happens for a reason. That definitely needed to be said. Thank you for saying that. Perfect.
I know.
That's perfect. And very true. And very true. People do have that fear. What I was about to say that was really profound is that core limiting beliefs, come over with the DNA. So it's part of our programming when we come into the world. And that's a big piece that people don't really understand yet, is that the limiting beliefs that our parents had, our mother, our father, our grandparents, are in us when we're born. And then that program facilitates an experience. We call it a seed experience. In hypnosis, it's called a seed experience. And that starts the ball rolling right there, that first experience. And when people can remember that seed experience, it could be some trauma, it could be a repeated experience, then they start to see how it conditioned the rest of their world. And we find that seed experience in our sessions, and we release the emotions connected to it very quickly, and that is profound. That makes a profound difference in this person's life.
Do you feel like some of these limiting beliefs are anchored in an emotion?
Absolutely.
What would you, well, I mean, not to, you know, kind of steer anything, but what I've always believed is that emotions will maybe lead you down the course to finding the source of trauma and the source of these
mm-hmm.
types of limiting beliefs. You know, a trigger that always causes the same emotional reaction that may not really be relevant in time or space. It's just there. I mean, did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. A trigger is an emotional trigger is a clue to what our limiting belief is. And if we can remember the first time we felt that thing happen. So let's give an example. Maybe you're triggered by something that your partner says to you, like, you always leave the dishes in the sink. I mean, something simple, right? You always do that. And your partner, and then you say, well, I don't always do that, but they're accusing you. And then you go off because you're feeling accused. Where did that come from? It's not a big deal. It's a conversation about not leaving the dishes in the sink. But that snowballs because of a trigger of being accused way back when. In someone's life, maybe when they were younger. So we find that anchor. I like that word that you used, anchor. We find that anchor, we pull it, and then it's not triggering you anymore. It's gone instantaneously. It's gone.
Well, you know, I think that tells everybody, all of our listeners, a lot about your practice and how you work with clients, and I think it sounds really fascinating. And I want to thank you again for being on the show today and sharing that with everyone.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, would you like to possibly share one of your case histories to kind of take us through a before, during, and after case study? I know that you gave me several to choose from. And one of the ones that really interested me is that you can work with people to either achieve a smooth resolution of a difficult problem. You can work with people to release an addictive behavior, or you can work with people to manifest a very wonderful situation financially. Would you like to choose one of those and speak about a case history? Of course, with no names.
Yeah, of course. Sure. I guess one that comes up, and it came up earlier, right, that I probably should talk about is one case in particular where my client was having a very difficult time with a coworker. And this coworker was a difficult person to work with. She's a manager, and he is supposed to be in a, under her, or however that would work. But she was having a difficult time. He would make snide remarks. He wouldn't do what she asked him to do. He would give her excuses why he wasn't doing that. And it was very difficult for her. She tried everything she knew how to change that situation, and nothing would change. So she came and we worked with data healing, and we probably spent, I want to say, maybe 15 minutes on that particular issue. And I do a follow-up. I do a two-week follow-up. She came back and two weeks later, and she said to me, she said, "I'm not sure how that worked, but it's magical." Because that worker, that person that she was having trouble with, she said, is no longer an issue. She said, "We're not best friends, but he's receptive, he's opening up, he's listening." And one of the beliefs that we worked on for her with that person was that he doesn't accept her as she is, and she didn't accept him as he was. And a limiting belief about non-acceptance for self or someone else not accepting you, that is huge, because it's about embracing. And I say this a lot to clients: what we resist will persist, what we embrace will find its place.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I can just hear Bridget loving that as well. Mm-hmm. You want to repeat that, honey? Go ahead and repeat that.
Sure. Of course, what we resist will persist, and what we embrace will find its place. And in many cases, resistance is fear. Not all, but many cases, resistance is fear. So we release the fear, and embrace means acceptance. So we accept what is, and miraculously, so much can change with that one belief.
Well, I think on that note, we will start our circle. And Brandy, this is your first time in the circle, so you'll go last. And I'll start with our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? But actually, who are you not to be all those things? And that's a quote by Marianne Williamson. And based on our theme today, our changing limiting beliefs and all the different things that we've talked about in regards to our theme, it all comes back down to embracing a fear of being the very, very best that we can possibly be. And I know so many times in my life, I felt like I was on the verge of brilliance. And a limiting belief for me is that, it's kind of hard to push forward right now, because what if I'm wrong? What if this isn't that moment, that fabulous moment that I've dreamed of? What if I push forward and it doesn't work out? And that tends to make me dilute it. It tends to make me play it safe. It tends to make me feel a little bit of fear of moving forward instead of fully embracing it. And I really have to sit down and think that through. I have to rely upon my support group of wonderful friends and people in my peer network that support me and give me positive feedback about what I'm doing. And I have a couple of really strong advisors, people that I really trust their opinion, that help me as well. But I know when I say that a lot of the listeners will resonate with that fear of success. I mean, we've all heard about fear of failure, but the fear of success, I think, is more paralyzing. Bridget, what do you have to say about that?
I agree. I do think that fear of success is often our limiting behavior. And I think sometimes a previous failure that we've had, and it can be very minor, will impact us in a way that's larger than itself. Somehow we blow that up and make it, we're going to fail all the time, which is unrealistic. And I do think that we have a problem with that, and we do have a lot of self-doubt. And those self-doubts can arise as just as we're stepping into a new level of power, something new we're going to do with our lives. And it is difficult. I mean, I was asked to join a board, and I decided that I would investigate this. I would go to the meeting, and I would step into this new role and step into doing something different, a little outside my scope of expertise, a little outside my comfort zone. And lo and behold, they did ask me to be on the board and invited me to be on the board. And I was driving home, and the old tapes came up, and I could hear the voice going, "Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing there? You have no place there. You don't belong there." And it was really funny that those old tapes came up trying to limit me. Luckily, they came up after I decided to do this, so that I could say, "I'm sorry, I don't care to listen to you today, goodbye," and then just step into, okay, let's see where this leads and let's see what I'm going to be able to do here and how I can contribute. But so often those tapes come up before you ever take that first step, and you never get to that step you're going to take. So I can understand that when you want to make a new decision, one of the things that comes up is a fear of failure, and there's a little self-doubt there. I'm so glad you have a wonderful community around you, because that's what we need, our cheerleaders.
It's the only way that I, you know, kind of make it from day to day, is my support group and people that I know. Like Brandy was saying before we went on the air, "Do you feel loved today?" You know, that's, you got to start there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can move through some of the other things. So Brandy, it's your turn in the circle. What would you like to add?
So yeah, this is a great topic. Teresa, thank you for bringing it up. And I love what you said too, Bridget. One of my very, very heartfelt teachers says that if you get first, you don't succeed, redefine success. And I mean, we are limitless beings, you know. I mean, we need to stop acting like we're not, and know that to the core of our being, that we are limitless beings, and we can decide what success looks like for us. And if we're not having the reality we prefer, then change the beliefs. You know, Gandhi said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." At a deep level, that's about changing inside to match the outside. And I think a lot of us struggle with that sometimes. Am I living up to my fullest potential? You know, is the question. And is that the belief that I'm not living up to my fullest potential? Then we just change that I am living up to my fullest potential. I am that already. And then you just slide into that role of who you know you already are. And I'm so glad you have that community as well, you know, because the company we keep will determine our fate. I believe that. The environment that we surround ourselves with, whether it's support or, you know, non-support or drama, you know, I got a lot of clients that deal with drama, you know, it's a choice to bring into your circle the people that support and love you. And I think that's wonderful, Teresa. I think powerful people know that that's the most important, one of the most important things that they need to do in their lives.
Well, you know, one of the most important people in my network is Bridget. You know, we talk a lot, and we co-host this show once a month, and we resonate on a very deep level, and that's why we want to do the show together. But when we bring people into this type of situation, for example, being a guest on the Women's Wisdom Circle, they become part of our circle as well. And hopefully, you know, Brandy and Elizabeth Gibbons, who was with us last month, Karen Ludes, who was with us the month before, are all different types of women and all different areas of our world, you know, that they represent. You being a metaphysical healer and counselor and coach, and Elizabeth's an artist. Karen is a wife and mother, but she makes an art form of it, you know. I think it's so important that we retain a really close touch with a variety of people who are experiencing life. I know that for many, many years, I was so involved in one area of life, and that was when I was involved in the dance business. You know, I was in the studio 7 days a week. I only traveled with dance competition and dance-related workshop types of things. My only friends were people in a similar job description as me. And it's just not as rich. And that's a limiting belief, that I won't be able to communicate with people outside of my one little area. Bridget, did you want to talk a little bit about that?
That I'm so glad that you brought that up, because more and more I've realized that Brandy's right about the community you surround yourself with. And if you surround yourself with people of diverse gifts who are not all doing the same thing or have the same lens looking at life that you do, you might still be in what you are gifted in. You might still be functioning within that most of the time, but all those other people stretch you, and they make you reach out for the other pieces of yourself that maybe aren't the strongest gifts in your repertoire, but they're there. And by bringing those in, you make yourself better and stronger and more powerful. And I really enjoy having people within my circle who are so different from me and enjoy different things, reach for different things, because it pushes me to do the same, pushes me to find those gifts within myself. And as the quote says, not to fear that we're inadequate in those areas. They may not be the biggest gifts we've got, but we still touch them in some way. And not to fear that we're going to fail just because we've reached for it, but it's going to stretch us. So I love diverse community. I'm reaching more for diverse community as I get older, and finding people who are out there using their gifts and their power and loving it. And I like to go and be with those people just like you, because that's what you do. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons that we resonate, is that we both reach for what it is we want.
That's right. What do you want to add to that, Brandy? And this will be our last entry into the circle.
Sure. Expansion. Expansion is really the key. That's wonderful. A wonderful way of thinking, because the buzzword that gets to me sometimes is tolerance. Oh, we got to have more tolerance for people. I really don't want to tolerate people. I want to love and accept people. And I hope I'm practicing that, and I do my best to practice that every day, and also help my clients understand that if there's some aversion that we have to a group or even just an individual person, that that can be transformed. It starts by looking deeply within ourselves and seeing what parts of ourselves that we're not loving and accepting, and then where did that come from? All this is very deep work, and the idea of expansion is definitely more of where we're headed. We can still keep our individuality while expanding our circle of people of all different backgrounds and races and creeds and cultures. And it's rich. if we frame it, if our lens, at least the word we keep using throwing around today, if our lens is expanded, if it broadens and opens, then we can really love each other more and accept each other more instead of just, oh, I'm just going to tolerate this person. Well, that doesn't help us with our self-growth. I think growth is about expansion and not excluding, non-exclusion.
Yes, I think you're right. The whole idea is to develop richness. And I think that today's topic of changing limiting beliefs was a fabulous, wonderful thing. And Brandy, thank you so much for bringing that to our show today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on. Pleasure to meet both of you in this space. Thank you so much.
Yes, it's been wonderful. And, you know, we do feel that we hold a space to inspire the hearts, the minds, and the lives through art, charity, and conversations that deepen our spiritual connection. But I know how Bridget feels, and I agree that it's also got to be a little bit of fun. So, you know, we try to talk about these things from our heart, but also keeping in mind that life is supposed to be fun. And Bridget, what would you like to leave our listeners with today?
Well, I want to pick up on that last piece that Brandy said, and it reminds me, I was in elder care ministry for a while, and we can keep expanding as we age, even as we're close to death. And I was working with an elder who was growing closer to death, and she whispered one day, she said, you know, the older I get, the more people I allow into heaven. And I just thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. But it spoke of her expanding spirit and her expanding soul and her not tolerance of other people, but love of other people. And it just tickled my heart.
So that's what we can say, the more people we're going to let into heaven. That's just a very tongue-in-cheek way of saying,
it.
You know what, maybe they're not so bad.
Right.
Right.
I love it.
I know. Well, thank you, ladies. Today has been wonderful. And Bridget will just have to come up with something even more spectacular for next month, all right?
All right.
Okay, Brandy, thank you so much for bringing love and acceptance to our show.
My pleasure. Thank you. You guys are wonderful.
All right, that's Brandy at holisticchanges.net. Thanks, Bridget. Once again, we had a wonderful time.
Join us next week for Gems of Wisdom with me, Teresa Marone, and my expert guest teaching spirituality and the arts. We bring together change makers, innovators, and creators, all heart-centered in service and committed to your personal growth. We're helping you so you can help others.